Both Salem and Olympia have been trying to impose new taxes based on carbon credits, which is a little bit like selling rainbows and unicorn horns. But the tax masters in the state capitals of the Northwest are also good at raising old-fashioned conventional taxes like property taxes. And I thought I'd talk about that with Washington State Senator Steve O'Bann. Senator, welcome back to the program and happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday, Lars. Thanks for having me on.
So if people are wondering about their property tax bills, most of us pay them directly through our mortgage payments, but we still see the assessments, the reserve accounts, and usually we get a notice from the bank saying, well, your reserve is going to have to be bigger, which means your payment goes up. Why is it that we've seen such a big increase in property taxes, in your case, in Washington State?
It's very simple. The legislature, and I say that in general, it's really been the Democrats, the other party, have been raising property taxes at a significant clip. Last year, especially, we saw a huge increase. And let me just give you one example. I've got a senior citizen constituent on a fixed income, pays $3,000 a year, paid her house off, apparently, and just got a bill for an additional $1,000. So she'll pay $4,000, a third increase over what she paid the previous year. And that's representative in my district. I'm seeing anywhere from 12 to 25% increases.
Now, that's outrageous, and I know it, especially for those of us who are still working and getting a paycheck, it's tough enough. But for somebody on a fixed income, maybe somebody who's paid off their house and hope to be able to live there through retirement, that could be almost crippling. It could literally force them out of their home, couldn't it?
It is definitely forcing some of my constituents out of their homes. And you're right, Lars. When you're on a fixed income, on Social Security or a pension, it's not like you can call up Social Security Department and say, hey, I need another $1,000 or, you know, whatever that works out to, maybe an extra 3 or 4% this year so I can pay for my home. It doesn't work that way. I think Social Security bumped up about 1.8% last year. This woman does not have enough discretionary income to make up that difference, and so it's going to have to come out of groceries or some other, I'm sure, maybe even medical costs that she'll have to pay just to stay in her home.
Well, and just to make it clear why this happened, folks might be saying, well, those are local property tax levies. You vote on them at the, you know, when you cast your ballot, you vote on them. But the fact that they were allowed to increase from a maximum of $1.50 per thousand to $2.50 a thousand, that's entirely on the legislature, right?
Yes, that much is entirely on the legislature. Then you're right. There are local levies and other, whether it's fire or a bond from your local library district that may have contributed to that. But the lion's share of that is definitely that 1.5 to 2.5 per thousand assessed value that people are feeling. The other thing I just want to mention, which you may be tracking, Lars, I know you are, is Sound Transit. A lot of people are focused, rightly so, on the big increase in their car tap taxes, 200-300%, even larger in some cases. But ST3 also raised our property taxes. It was a brand new tax. I know that most people didn't know that when they were voting for it or, for that matter, against it. But the ST3 imposed a brand new Sound Transit property tax as well. And I've had a bill to try to reverse that for my constituents.
Is there any chance that that whole project could ever be shut down? I know that sounds like heresy to people out there, that once a government project is in operation, nothing should shut it down. But, I mean, didn't Jenny Durkin even say this local trolley has gotten so far out of control that she shut it down? I think temporarily she may have reinvigorated the project in Seattle. But, I mean, there has to be a point. Even big companies will sometimes say, yeah, we were planning to build three new buildings, but now we're only going to build two because the economics have changed. And yet we never see government do that. And $52 or $54 billion for additional light rail? If it's failing as badly in Seattle as I know it is in the Portland Metro, where it's failing to meet all of its projections, it's failing to actually deliver what was promised, there has to be a time where the government starts to act like the private sector does. If a private sector company like Boeing says, we're going to build a plant, we expect it to produce 500 airplanes a year, and it only produces 300, and the economics of it change, I don't think that happens to Boeing, but it does happen to government, Boeing would say, well, then we're not building the second one because that one's going to be just as bad. And yet government never does that.
Well, you're right. That's because there's things called competition and market forces, right, on private enterprise. So you make a bad business decision, you'll find out pretty quickly when the competition does circles around you, or people don't buy your plane because you're charging too much, whatever. Government has a monopoly, as we know, on those services and on the power to tax. And nowhere is that more obvious how out of touch government can be than in my county, Pierce County. We rejected ST3 by over 10 percentage points, 45-55. And then we rejected, or rather supported, 976, $30 car taps by a 66% to 33% margin. That's a pretty obvious repudiation of Sound Transit. And yet, Sound Transit refuses to give any of our money back, is fighting in the courts the effort to return that money. And that's basically because Sound Transit is doing the transit bidding of Seattle. It really should be called the Seattle Transit Authority. And it's because Seattle voted for SC3 and against 976. So we've got a real regional disparity here. Everybody outside of Seattle does realize that Sound Transit is not worth the value and wants their money back, but only Seattle thinks it will help them.
Well, maybe it's a project for one of your interns, Senator O'Bann, but there's an outfit down here, Cascade Policy, which has been looking hard at the numbers, and they look at the original promise of the transit agency for TriMet, and they say, this is what you promised light rail would be after 1 year and after 5 years and after 10 years, and this is what we actually have. And some of the promises made for literally billions of dollars spent are off by as much as 50%. So when you promise the voters we will do this, I'd love to see what the numbers are for the parts of Sound Transit that have been built. Is it actually living up to what was promised? Because that might start the conversation about how to shut this nonsense down. That's Washington State Senator Steve O'Bann on the skyrocketing property taxes in Washington State. And, of course, the fact that voters voted for $30 car tabs, which also were not delivered. And is Sound Transit delivering by your estimation? Because it sure isn't by mine. You're listening to the Radio Northwest Network and the Lars Larson Show.